Your SteveJonesShow.com podcast audio is loading now. Today's SteveJonesShow.com podcast audio is sponsored by Purdy Insurance, Market Street, Sunbury, and online at PurdyInsurance.com.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
All right, good Monday, everyone, and welcome to the show brought to you by our good friends, Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. You can always go to purdyinsurance.com, and we're in the beautiful Sunbury Motors Studio, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Key, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and the Hilscher's General Store hotline open at 1-800-795-9565, powered by Hilscher's General Store, located 7 miles south of Sealands Grove on routes 11 and 15. Go to www.hilscherstore.com. We have Penn State, Wisconsin yesterday. Now we have the big coming up on Thursday, a 2:30 tip-off at a 2 o'clock airtime for the Nittany Lions in the Big Ten tournament. And this is the fun time of the year. It is the fun time of the year. There's a lot to talk about in college basketball, and that's going to be one of our prime topics coming up today. But first, above the noise, here's Dan Patrick. And we welcome everyone back to the show. Great to have you with us. And, roll on here in the show. Kevin's along board. Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Great to have you with us today. Sir, how are you today?
I'm well. How about yourself? Recovered from yesterday's game? Exciting? Especially
good.
At the end?
It's a tough ending for them. They did so many things right. Now they'll get Michigan Thursday at 2:30.
That is officially a 2 o'clock airtime here on WKOK.
2 o'clock air. 2 o'clock airtime. 2:30 will be the...
We'll see. Let's see. Thursday will be the Steve Jones Show will be live from the tournament with your guest, Dick Girardi, and the Michigan Wolverines.
Yes, it will be. And should they win, it's Wisconsin Friday.
It'll be an extended program, too, because it'll be at least another hour than it normally is.
Right. So, yeah. So, great news. That's what we're doing. Dave Paulson's going to join. Wednesday's a big night for Bucknell. They have built all season to get to this moment. When you work as hard as they have to get to this moment, we know in a one-bid league, this is the deal. I mean, in a one-bid league. And
this is the way you get to the tournament. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, and they've built all – I mean, it's interesting because Dave Paulson has a veteran team. He played an absolutely fabulous non-conference schedule. I mean, really a strong non-conference schedule. Went out and played at Purdue, played at Penn State, played at Missouri. Played two Big Ten teams on the road, played an SEC team on the road. And he's been building to get to this particular moment. I think that when you look at what Bucknell's done, I mean, and again, Lafayette's a team that they split with.
Well, this tournament came right down to the seeding. I mean, 1-2.
Yeah, 1-2 against one another. This game is going to be at Soica. This is why you fight so hard to be the number one seed in a one-bid tournament. I mean, Indiana ends up being the number one seed in the Big Ten tournament, but it's on a neutral site in Chicago. Okay, so they will face the 8-9 winner. And if they get that, they'll face the 4-5 winner. You know, the 4-5 winner could be, for goodness sakes, the 4-5 winner could be Penn State play Michigan first. You don't know. But when you're in a one-bid league where the home court advantage is determined, I've been involved in two of those games. And, of course, this is a long time ago. But Penn State was in the Atlantic 10, and the championship game in the Atlantic 10 back then was based on seeding at home. The home court, I mean, the what was interesting was that the tournament first round, quarterfinal, semifinals were held at the Palestra. But the final was at the home court of the team that was the highest seed. How about that? Well, Penn State in 1989 wins its way to the championship game and had to play at Rutgers. And the atmosphere was unbelievable at the Lewis Brown Athletic Center that night. It was just tremendous because you had bid on the line. Rutgers played a great game. Penn State played a great game. Tommy Hovast, down three, took a three, top of the key, straight on to tie the game and send to overtime. It was just long. Tom Savage got the rebound with about, I don't know, a second to go. Walked down the other end. He hit one of two free throws. Rutgers won it 70-66. Penn State was knocked out by John Calipari and UMass in the semifinals the next year at the Palestra. But then, in 1991, Penn State's final year in the Atlantic 10, same thing. Went to the Palestra, won, beat Temple in the semifinals. Mick Kilgore called a timeout. Temple didn't have. It was a technical foul. Won the game dramatically. And then they went to Rec Hall to play the game in Rec Hall, championship game against George Washington. And Penn State flew out of the gate. One of the best starts I've ever seen Penn State. They were up big, like 24-5 early. And it stayed that way the entire game. The place went berserk. And finally, I mean, Ellis McKinney hit a bunch of shots down the stretch that took like a 15-point game and made it a decision. No, there was no thought at any point in the second half that Penn State was going to lose the game. Okay? The final was 81-75. You're saying 6-point game. That's because McKinney hit another three at the buzzer to take it 9-6. And that was the closest they ever got. The closest they got in that game after the start Penn State has was the 6-point final. The game was hovering between 10 and 20 the entire time. There was no thought about Penn State losing the game. George Washington, Mike Jarvis was the coach at the time, just did not have a run in them. It just didn't happen. They didn't make a run. And it just kind of like slowly, you know, he hit some threes, and, you know, Penn State would counter. He hit a three, Penn State would counter, fine. It just stayed there. And then finally, at the end, they hit a three to get it down the nine. They hit a three to get down the six on the last shot of the game. But everybody knew who was going to win the game the entire second half. Penn State won it 81-75. They won the championship on their home floor. So I've done two games. I've done three conference championship games in my career. Okay, one at Rutgers, one at Penn State, and then one on a neutral floor in Indianapolis, the Big Ten championship game 2 years ago. And home court is great. Bucknell has the home court. They had the home court last year, too, so obviously they're taking nothing for granted. But that means, you know, Lafayette tickets, people there, but it's still Buckner's crowd. Never, 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 never take a championship game or a chance to get to the NCAA tournament as fans for granted. Never. Because I'm telling you right now, okay, and I'll give you a good example, Indiana. Kevin, how great is the tradition of Indiana basketball?
Yeah, even I know that.
Okay?
Even I know that.
And you know what yesterday was?
What was yesterday?
Their first outright Big Ten championship in 20 years.
Yeah, I read that too, and I thought, wow, the first one in that many years?
No, I've always known that.
I didn't.
The last years of Bob Knight. Now, see, ironically, within that run, they got to the national championship game under Mike Davis in 2002. So that kind of makes you think, well, wait a minute. Didn't they get to the national title game? Maryland beat them. All right? Maryland beat them. I think it was down in Atlanta. So that's why it kind of, you don't realize. But they didn't win the Big Ten title that year. Do you realize how many Big Ten tournament championships has Indiana won?
I didn't read that far to find out.
None. They've never been in the championship game.
Wow.
Okay. This is why. Okay. Here's another
one.
Fab Five. Okay. Fab Five.
Right.
Okay, Fab Five was together for 2 years, and then four of them stayed one extra year. Correct?
Yes.
Okay.
The way
how
I
many
remember.
Big Ten? How many Big Ten titles they win in that span?
Two.
None.
Really?
They went to the Final Four. The first 2 years, all five were together as freshmen and sophomores. They finished fourth each time in the conference.
Did they win the tournament?
And there was no Big Ten tournament then.
Oh, there was no tournament then. Okay.
Big Ten did not start till 97.
Okay, that's right.
Or didn't start till 98. Sorry about that. 97-98 season. Okay? So you do not ever take championships for granted. I think sometimes people go, oh, yeah, they're really good. Ho-hum-hum. There's no ho-hum. It's hard to win a championship. I think what's happened is that talk show hosts are really guilty about this. Not so much columnists. I think talk show hosts are really guilty. Making the world think it's look at the Miami Heat there. Well, Miami, you've been together 3 years now. This is their third year together as a collective group. They've won one title. It's hard. It's hard. Why haven't we had a repeat champion in the NFL for years? Why haven't we had a repeat champion in baseball?
In baseball,
since
really
the 90s and the Yankees. But the 90s and the Yankees. Why haven't we had a repeat champion in the NBA for a bit? Why haven't we had a repeat champion in the NHL? How come we don't get – when's the last time we had back-to-back championships in college basketball? You have to go Duke in the early 90s. College football, Alabama did it this year. Okay. It's still not – Alabama didn't even win their own division 2 years ago, and they won the national championship. They didn't even win their own division, let alone the SEC. You realize the only championship that Alabama won 2 years ago was the national championship?
That
they didn't win the division? Yeah. They didn't win a division or conference championship.
Yeah, that I did know.
Right? I mean, it's just hard to win. That's why we don't have enough appreciation for winning. Tiger Woods won yesterday. Okay? Tiger Woods, I'll bet any amount, has a greater appreciation for what winning now means than at any point in his life.
Been a while since he won.
Well, no, this is the second time he's won this year.
Yeah, but it's been a while since he's won regularly is what I meant.
Right. So, I mean, this is, nobody appreciates it more.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Steve Jones in the Sunbury Motors Studio, the Western version. Kevin Hur in the Eastern version of the Sunbury Motors Studio. All be together tomorrow That'll be interesting. I haven't seen his face. Oh, wait a minute. Maybe that's not a good thing that I see his face. That's a whole different topic altogether. Steve was talking a little bit about the Big Ten tournament that's coming up starting Thursday, and we'll have Penn State and Michigan here on WKOK beginning at 2 o'clock, taking the place of the Steve Jones Show for Thursday. I thought it was interesting when I was looking at Joe Lunardi's brackets in his bracketology section of the website there for ESPN. One of the things he has is Bucknell, Arizona in the East being played in Salt Lake City. Now, I had this comment before. I think it's absolutely crazy that you play out of the East but play it in Salt Lake City, which would not be, well, which actually is east of Hawaii. That's about it. But nevertheless, they have Philadelphia, Salt Lake City, Austin, and Dayton in the East. Now, Austin, not really East. Salt Lake City, definitely not East. At least Philadelphia and Dayton are East. But I thought, the other thing I thought that was interesting, though, was Arizona, the 5 seed, and Bucknell, the 12 seed. And those of you familiar with Bucknell basketball know that that's not the first time those two teams have matched up in the recent years. So we may talk a little bit more about that with Coach Dave Paulson. Of course, he's more concerned about the game on Wednesday night with Lafayette, the number 1 seed Bison taking on the number 2 seed Leopards in the Big Ten tournament at Soica. And we'll have it on one of our sister stations, Eagle 107, coming up on Wednesday night. Doug Birdsong, along with Terry Conrad, will have that championship game looking again on Wednesday night. So that's something to put on your list for Eagle 107 and Eagle107.com. Friday night here on WKOK, the Shikellamy Braves season came to an end, as Abington Heights, well, did what they do best. They just shot the ball very, very well. 67-37 in the Class AAA first-round playoff game up at Lackawanna College in Scranton. And Tim Fore said it on the postgame. He said, you know, Abington Heights played really, really well. He said, we saw them 3 or 4 times, and the one thing that we noticed was that they didn't shoot the ball as well as they did on Friday night. They had a 21-point halftime lead. And that's what happens when you shoot almost 70% from the field. Now, the Braves were able to keep it tight after the first quarter. Ernie Tyler hit a big three-pointer late in the first quarter to keep things a little bit closer. But then, you know, between the 6-minute mark of the second period to the end, the Comets just went on a 17-2 run and just took charge of the game at that point. And then to start the second half, you know, the Braves started to look like it was going to be okay. Well, you know, a good start, got an opening 2, but then ended up giving up another 14-2 run at that point, and that just made it, you know, almost insurmountable. But again, when you're taking on a team shooting about 70% from the field, it is tough, very tough, to defeat a team like that. Lots and lots of weapons on that team. Well, there's lots of weapons on this Comets team. I mean, not only the guys on the inside, Bamford, but they shot the ball very well from outside the arc as well. And I think the Braves only had 2 rebounds in like the second quarter. I mean, it was one and done. I mean, they were very, very strong, very, very physical, and shot the ball very, very well. And Tim Fore said, you know, after the game, he said, you know, we were going to have to play our perfect game to win. So a tough end of the season for the Braves, who finish 14-12 in the season. But as I said, that is a very misleading number, because there are a lot of quality quad A teams on that schedule, a lot of quality triple A teams outside of the area on that schedule as well. That, you know, probably about 5 or 6 of those games were within about 5 points against really quality statewide opponents. So you have to take that into consideration. I know during the season, Tim Fore doesn't like me to say that, but you know, it's one of those things you have to consider. So the Braves end their season at 14-12. Milton also lost on Friday night. The Danville girls lose on Saturday. The Mount Carmel girls also, they actually won and will advance. I think that was an 80-point output for the Mount Carmel girls. Now that, I think it was 80-60, something like that. It was like 150, 140 points in that game, and not saying anything negative about girls basketball, but that's a lot of points in a boys game, let alone a girls game. So Mount Carmel shot the ball very, very well on Friday night in the early part of that game at Shamokin. So that catches you up on what's been going on statewide over the weekend with the tournament. Had a couple of good state finalists, state champions from the area. Rutherford from Benton, defeating a former teammate from Line Mountain, and also Ryan Solomon with a win as well in the AA finals that you heard here on WKOK. That officially wrapped up the wrestling season. And from what I heard on Friday, Steve, Ken Cherto had a lot of those guys back in the wrestling room on Sunday. They were getting right back into it again. If there's a guy to learn from, there's one of them. Got a chance to watch a little Big Ten wrestling over the weekend as well. Saw Ruth, who every time I see him, I cannot imagine anybody I've seen wrestle quicker. I mean, I haven't seen a ton of wrestling, but I've seen some college wrestling, and he is just so quick. And, boy, almost got himself a pin in the Big Ten finals. That is something that does not happen very, very often, a pin in the Big Ten finals. But he was very, very close. Beautiful five-point move. Caught him in mid-single leg and just planted him and was just a few inches from getting the pin. Got the takedown and the three-point near fall and changed a 1-0 deficit into a 5-1 lead at that point and never looked back from that point on. And a couple other Penn State wrestlers winning championships, too. We'll talk about that a little bit later on. Dave Paulson, again, joining us in the 4 o'clock hour here on WKOK on the Steve Jones Show. We'll have that with talking more about the Lafayette game. And one of the things that I was mentioned earlier, we'll chat a little bit with Steve, is why things have broken up the way they did in the NCAA tournament, with Philadelphia actually playing a couple of games in the East, and they're actually going to play a couple of Midwest regional games. I don't understand why they just don't play. You know, if they're going to play 4 games, why not play them all out of the East bracket? Why have the East be Philadelphia, Salt Lake City, Austin, and Dayton be the sites? Because the Midwest also has Dayton, San Jose, Austin, and Philadelphia. So, okay, here's my thought. Move Salt Lake City over to the Midwest. Move Philadelphia over to the East. Move Dayton over to the East. Move, and there you go. You've got two Philadelphia. You've got four matchups in Philly, 4 matchups in Dayton, all coming out of the East and then end up in Washington.
Yeah, Philly. I'm going to Philly.
Well, explain this to me.
I'm going to Philly, so.
Okay. Well, explain to me why you have 4 games in Philadelphia. 2 are in the East mm-hmm. bracket, 2 are in the Midwest bracket. Mm-hmm. Why? Mm-hmm. That doesn't make sense to me. Why not play all 4 games
about?
In the East?
Well, no.
That's the way I'm looking at this bracket.
No.
Okay. Please educate me.
Slow down.
All right.
Okay.
What does yellow mean?
Okay. The first 2 rounds.
Right.
Okay. They have what's called pods. Philadelphia is a pod.
Right.
Okay.
I get that.
The idea in the first 2 rounds is to get as many teams geographically close as possible to that in the first round. So it turns out that 2 of the games in the Eastern bracket, 2 are in the Midwest. But, for example, they're trying to balance regions out. So let's say LaSalle makes it.
Okay.
Let's say they do.
All right.
Okay, let's take one that will definitely make it. That's Temple.
Okay.
Temple may be seeded, pick a number.
12.
4th in the Midwest bracket. Okay?
Oh, you're talking. Okay.
And they're going to play a 4-13 game, okay, in the Midwest bracket. But in the round, that Midwest bracket's going to be in Philadelphia.
Yeah.
Now Temple and their fans can go there, even though it's a Midwest bracket game, and go to that game in the first 2 rounds, second and third round.
Okay, I understand that logic, but why not play? You have 4 games in Philadelphia. Why not play 4 games in Philadelphia out of the East bracket?
Because you may have out of the East bracket, Boise State,
okay,
Diego State, or because they're trying to balance, because they just take the teams and they go 1 through 68. That's how they do it. All right?
All right.
So you may have Boise State, San Diego State. Well, guess what? For their fans, it's really hard to get them to Philadelphia. Okay? So that's why, you know, you don't just put them in the East bracket. Okay, you try to then get them and for the first, even though Temple, Penn State's a bad example, or Penn State's a bad example in Tucson, but there were other teams there as well. For example, Northern Colorado played San Diego State in the next game after us. Okay. Well, it was great for the San Diego State fans, and it wasn't that bad of a trip for the Northern Colorado fans.
All right, I guess, you know, I understand all, that.
This is all an offshoot of what happened in Boise a few years ago when Maryland, George Mason, and Georgetown all ended up in Boise.
Yeah, that
when they were doing
great.
The system, when they were doing the system now, expounding and it, putting your muscle behind.
But you have to admit
that's your system.
It does sound strange to say, "And welcome to the East Regional here in Salt Lake City." It just doesn't
sound
right. Well,
you say
right.
That these are East Regional games. Okay?
I know
the regional itself is the next weekend.
But didn't they get away from using East, Midwest, West, and South a few years ago and call them by the city that they were playing the final? Like the Washington, D.C. bracket, the Indianapolis bracket?
But people can relate to sections of the country easier, that's all. That's why they went back. You know, they're going to go to the St. Louis bracket, whatever bracket. You know, they changed back to the name of the regionals just because they found that people related to it better.
I mean, I understand everything you're saying, and it makes sense, but it still sounds dumb. That's all I'm saying. It just still sounds dumb.
No.
It does to me.
Because you're trying to regionalize teams so more fans can get to games. I mean, Temple, Penn State, the mistake they made was that year it should have been at the Verizon Center in D.C. Okay?
Yeah.
That's where it probably should have been. I mean, as Bucknell fans, wouldn't you like it if they were put in the Midwest region and started in Philadelphia?
Well, I wouldn't care what region they were in. I would like to see them in the East, period. That's what I'm saying.
Exactly.
I mean,
exactly.
I'd like to see them in the East for the whole stinking thing.
Well, I'm saying, though, but it's why you be put in Philadelphia. You can still be put into another region, but you're going to have the opportunity to be closer to home.
Now you explain it that way. It makes more sense to me.
Okay. I think Bucknell was in 2 years ago when Penn State went to Tucson. I believe Bucknell was in D.C., weren't they?
Let's see. There's one they were in Texas. I'm trying to think. I thought it was Texas. I thought it was Dallas.
Wasn't it 2 years ago they played at the Verizon Center?
I don't remember. I remember one that was in, like, it was in Texas, I thought, either Houston or Dallas. I can't remember. But I trust your memory better than mine. Let's put it that way.
But I'm just saying, that's the goal of what they're trying to do with the pod system. They're trying to get as many schools, you know, it can't be perfect about it.
Right.
Okay, you're not going to be perfect about it, but you're trying to get them as close to home as possible. Okay, that's what you're trying to do.
Well,
it's a huge neighborhood, but you're trying to get as many teams into the neighborhood. Possible, all right?
Well, if Lenardi's bracket comes out true, Arizona-Bucknell would be a 5-12 matchup out of the mm-hmm. East Regional in Salt Lake City. Now,
all right, but that's, see, again, no. that's Arizona being the higher
right,
seed.
Right, and I'm not talking about where it is. I'm just talking about the matchup, and I think that's very intriguing. Because of the recent history with Bucknell, Arizona.
Right now, Dave Paulson thinks what you're saying is poison. And
I know he does. I know he does. Right? But I can say that. I'm not involved with it.
No, but here's the reason why, okay? Here's the reason why. We have Thursday and Friday to speculate all we want about where they go when they win.
Are you going to tell me because now you're superstitious all of
not,
a sudden?
No, I'm not, because I can sit here and I can tell you that Penn State's playing Michigan on Thursday. I can speculate about where Michigan is going to go in the tournament. Why? Because I know they're in. Right? I was able to speculate a couple, like 2 years ago, I really could speculate on where Penn State was going after they beat Wisconsin, because I knew after the Wisconsin game last year they were in. Right? You know when you're in. Okay? If Bucknell were in a conference that was a multi-conference, we could speculate now on where they would be. Because in a multi-bid conference, with their record, they'd be in. But there's a reality. The reality is Bucknell is not in the tournament unless they win Wednesday. Wednesday is a playoff game to get in.
All I said was it was an intriguing idea.
But the idea is moot because they're not in. Michigan, we can speculate. They're in. We know it.
You suck all the fun out of sports for me. You know that?
No, but there's a reality to it, okay?
I know.
Here's the reality.
You're right. I get it.
Okay. What do you want to say? What's Lafayette's seed if they win?
Oh, I have no idea. Maybe the same thing.
No, they would not be.
I'm just saying Lenardi's projection. That's all I'm saying. I'm just talking about his projection I thought was really interesting. That was it.
It's interesting, but for Bucknell, it's poison.
I understand that they can't look at it that way.
Right. Bucknell, poison to look at. Now, Thursday and Friday, we can have a blast should they win about talking about where they're going, what they're doing, who they might match up in the whole thing. But it doesn't mean anything unless they win Wednesday night. Now, when I look at Wisconsin, okay, speculate on Wisconsin's seed yesterday. You could speculate on Michigan or Michigan State's seed or speculate Illinois seed, or you can definitely speculate on whether Indiana won. They're in the tournament.
Because they're likely there.
Genius.
Yeah.
It's not even likely there. They're in. I mean, they're in. Iowa's on the bubble. I tell you, Minnesota's probably in, but they should be on the bubble because, I mean, they were lousy the last week, except for, you know, I mean, they, Indiana, Penn State back-to-back played their two best games of the year, and then all of a sudden last week looked around and it was like watching Tidy Bowl go around and around.
Watching Tidy Bowl.
Oh, but they were terrible last week.
We work hard, so you don't have to.
But, I mean, so those teams, you can speculate about being in and where they might be. Okay? Florida does not need to win the SEC tournament. We know they're in. Okay? Doesn't take a genius. You know they're in. Bucknell is in the unfortunate spot of being in a one-bid league. Patrick Chambers was in a one-bid league. Okay? First year he's at BU, they went to the CBI because he wanted postseason experience for his players. Second year, they won the America East, got in, and then they went 35 minutes toe-to-toe with Kansas before Kansas finally pulled away. Right? When you're in a one-bid league, the pressure of Wednesday night is exponential. And you're telling them where they're going next. I just sucked all the life out of you.
It's like a vacuum. It's like a vacuum, sucking all the fun out.
Yeah. But it's a reality.
I understand, but I don't like reality. My world's more entertaining.
And you're talking about a team last year that on its home floor didn't win the game.
That's very true.
Okay, so now they know what is a given and what is not in life.
Well, I guarantee you there's nobody wearing orange and blue that's thinking where they're going to place in the tournament. I just thought it was intriguing the way Joe Lenardi had it set up.
We can have from Wednesday night at whatever time, 10 o'clock, whatever,
until Friday.
Okay. You can do whatever you want about this.
I will withhold my future comments on the matchup until Friday.
Okay, between now and then, I think, all the talk needs to be Lafayette, Lafayette, Lafayette. The second you start making plans or the second the plans are canceled.
I have the 2015.
I suck all the out of it for you.
I have the 2015 NFL playoffs ready to go, too, when you're ready.
I mean, you're the guy that has the high school playoff picture all set. Mike Muscala did something the other night, 2,000 points, 1,000 career rebounds. What select company. My goodness.
Amazing.
I mean, I'm talking like you're talking 20-something players in the history of the NCAA have done this. 20. And the names are wow. I mean, Ferdinand Lewis Alcindor, one of them. Larry Bird.
He wasn't bad.
I mean, do you realize what Mike's done?
When you put him in the category of where, of people that have done that, it's really amazing.
So, amazing is right. Well. All right. Purdy Insurance, like Market Street in Suburb. I love sports, okay? I mean, but I apologize for bringing the real world into it.
Hi, Debbie Downer. Who's our sponsor?
Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. I mean, I don't mean to be realistic about it, but I'm around teams all the time. Okay? And so are you. And you know darn well when they get into this thing, there is a reason why the fan can sit and go, oh, and the team goes, we can't do that. Fans can sit there and go, boy, if they win, I wonder what seed they are. If they think that, there is no seed. Dave Paulson's right now in the car going, He didn't want to talk to you. All right.
How's that different than normal?
Oh, actually, that's not. All right. We'll come back. News top of the hour. News Radio 1070 WK, okay?
I really need a used car.
Sunbury Motors has lots full of used cars.
But it has to be a good used car.
Well, they're not good.
What?
They're great. Sunbury Motors has over 300 used vehicles to choose from. Cars, SUVs, and trucks so good, we wouldn't sell them if we wouldn't drive them. That's probably why we consistently sell over 200 cars a month. And when it comes to new, Sunbury Motors is the largest Ford dealership in the central Susquehanna Valley. Sunbury Motors makes buying a new car easy with a huge inventory and lots of choices.
And I'm a smart shopper, and I know what the price should be for the car I want.
Well, here at Sunbury Motors, you get our lowest price promise. We research prices on used cars so much that if you find a better deal, we'll beat it. That's a promise. So here's your keys.
Thanks.
Take a test drive today at the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and our Kia dealerships at Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Shop 24/7 and see our inventory at sunburymotors.com. That's sunburymotors.com. Sunbury Motors, a tradition of trust since 1915.
When you buy insurance, it's serious business. Because if something happens and you don't have the right coverage, you're out of luck and maybe out of business. So if you need insurance, business, home, auto, or flood, ask your agent about Selective. No gimmicks, just great coverage and great response.
Get to know your local Selective agent, Purdy Insurance, on Market Street in Sunbury or at purdyinsurance.com. Find out what Purdy Insurance can do for you.